Please, and open with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And now, the same questions for everyone. So moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, church members, church visitors, first-timers, are there real dangers in this life? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not going to deny that. There are real dangers out there. I mean, there are things that could kill you. But is there a way, is there really a way to go all the way through life without really being afraid of any of them? Imagine if we were all at the edge of the wilderness, headed to the promised land in order to take it from some enemy, like Joshua, right? Do you think it's possible? Is there a way to be bold and courageous and to have success guaranteed? Our text for this morning is Psalm 91, and the title of the message is The Secret Place of the Most High. And as I read Psalm 91, of course, I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, but notice all the promises. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers and under His wings. Thank you, Miss Brenda. Beautiful song. Under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. What a psalm, right? Promises. Amazing promises of safety and security and protection in all your ways. Which is what makes this psalm very popular. Very popular. There are so many promises here of God's protection. But here's a question. Who really believes it? Who really understands it? Admittedly, this psalm is hard to believe and hard to understand. And I've had a very hard time, admittedly, over the years coming to grips with this psalm. I've preached a lot of psalms in my life as a preacher, more than most preachers, because most preachers do not go one psalm after another. And so you know I've preached at least 90 in this church, and I've preached far more than that, but I've never preached Psalm 91. I've had a hard time with this one. I'm just admitting that. Because this psalm, as it is preached by many, is the first half of the health and wealth gospel, which is a false gospel. I mean, look at verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Look at verse 6. says you won't be afraid nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor will you be afraid of that. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You know how some have preached that this past year, don't you? If you're a Christian, you'll never get COVID. That's how. Have you heard that? I mean, that has been preached throughout the land. Some of them even saying, I bind you COVID. They rebuked COVID to its face. Wow. Amazing. I mean, this sounds like, at first glance, a promise that you will be invulnerable to anything. Not susceptible to any illness. Not susceptible to any trouble. Not susceptible to any affliction or any suffering. You know what? If you ever hear this psalm preached like that, it is unbelievable. It is not believable, and nor should you believe it. In light of John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, trouble. Or Acts 14:22, through many, what? Tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Or how about 2 Timothy 3:12? Whoever desires to live godly in Christ Jesus must, what? Suffer persecution or be persecuted. If you ever hear Psalm 91 preached as though, if you just believe in God, you won't have any troubles, reject that preacher. On the other hand, the one speaking here is God. And you can be certain that He wants you to believe what He's saying, but He wants you to understand it first. So to that end, three significant observations to begin with, followed by three significant questions. And that's our outline. Three significant observations, and then three significant questions, with the goal that you will both understand and wholeheartedly believe everything God says in Psalm 91. Significant observation number one. I want you to take a look back at Psalm 90, verse 1, the previous psalm, verse 1. Okay, we know Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, and verse 1 of Psalm 90 says, Lord, you have been our what? Dwelling place in all generations. Now look at Psalm 91:1. He who what? Dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And now look at Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord who is my refuge, even the Most High, your what? Your dwelling place. A whole lot of dwelling going on here. Same language, right? Same terminology. Similar ideas. What's the significance of this observation? Well, when you do your homework, what you find is Psalm 91 is another psalm of Moses, the man of God, and it answers the main prayer of Psalm 90, which was, teach us to number our days. Want to know how to number your days? Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That'll become more clear as we go on. Psalm 91 is another prayer of Moses. All the ancient Jews took it that way. We have no reason to disagree, and the internal evidence here is compelling. Here we learn in Psalm 91 how to live our lives in a way that is wise in the sight of God. Significant observation number two. Look at Psalm 91, verse 2, and just the last word. 91, verse 2. Trust, all right? In Him I will trust. Now look at 91:11, and the last phrase. In all your ways, put those together, trust in all your ways. Now look at 91:14, end of the line, 91:14. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. This is an observation of some terminology that's being used in this psalm. When you do a lot of praying and thinking and meditating and researching, what you discover is, and this is very critical, the wisdom of Psalm 91 and all the promises in it are summed up succinctly by Solomon in those very familiar words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, or as Ruby said, really, really trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, which really means in all your ways know Him. Know His name, know His reputation, And then the promise of Proverbs 3:6 is not a promise of guidance. It is actually a promise of protection to your eternal destination. Literally, he will make your path straight. That means he will remove the dangers. He will remove the obstacles. He will make sure that you get to your intended end. Psalm 91 is a wisdom psalm. It's teaching us how to number our days, to live in a way that's wise. And in essence, to sum it up, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't go by what you see or what everyone else says. Just go forward boldly in faith. Be strong and courageous. And the Lord will make your path straight. He will keep you safe. He will keep you secure. He will get you to the end, and you will see his salvation. Significant observation number three. There is just one main truth in all of Psalm 91, and the rest is explanation and application. That one main truth is found in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That leads us to our three significant questions. Number one, what exactly does Psalm 91:1 mean? And question number two, what will it mean for you if you really, really believe it? And question number three, do you believe? Question number one, what does Psalm 91:1 really mean? Take a look at it, Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, he who dwells, that's not difficult. This is the Hebrew word yashav, which is the word for where you live. Where you live, where you move around. Like, you dwell in, I'm guessing, Pueblo or Pueblo West, or, I mean, if you attend here regularly, that's where you dwell. Maybe you dwell somewhere else. Wherever is the town where you're living, making a living, living your life, moving around, that's where you dwell. Well, he who dwells, where? In the secret place of the Most High, as in the Most High God, which means that he is sovereign. Most high in power, most high in authority, most high in knowledge, most high in wisdom. He's the Most High God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall what? Now this part's the promise. Shall abide. Oh, different word. This is not the word for where you live. This is the word for where you rest. Shall rest. As in safely, securely. Safe and secure from all alarm. Isn't that a song? Safe and secure from all alarm. Yeah. Shall abide, Hebrew word lun, where you lodge, where you rest. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, as in the Almighty God. And he's called the Almighty because he's sovereign, almighty, all-powerful. There's nothing too difficult for him. He who dwells, lives out his or her life, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide, shall rest safe and secure under the shadow of the Almighty, which raises two big questions I did not answer. So does the Most High God have a secret place in which you can live your life? And does the Almighty have a shadow under which you can rest and not be afraid? Clearly he does. But his secret place is not a secret in the sense that, yeah, but nobody knows where it is, so too bad. Great promise, great psalm, sounds amazing, but it's a secret, so not a secret in that sense, right? He does have a secret place in which you can live. Secret in the sense that it is an invisible shelter. You can't see it. It's not physical. It's not visible to the human eye. In fact, at this very moment, the person sitting beside you, or the person sitting right behind you, or the person sitting right in front of you, or perhaps many people right around you, right now are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You just can't see the dwelling. 100% invisible and yet 100% real. If you're one of those foolish people who says, if I can't see it, I don't believe it, I guess you don't have a mind. Here's the incredible gospel truth of Psalm 91. Ready? He who lives in this invisible, yet real, secret place of the Most High Sovereign God will abide, rest safely and securely under the invisible shadow of the Almighty. And when you rest in someone else's shadow, that someone is not far away. He is very near. A very present help in the time of trouble. This is good news, beloved. In fact, it's so good that no sooner did Moses write it down than he said, I'm in. Verse 2. I'll say, this is Moses like jumping in. As in, I'll say right now, and I'll keep on saying it. I'll say, and here we learn how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. In Him I'll trust. That's how you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You say, you confess, and you keep on confessing. You take the Lord as your refuge. You take Him as your fortress. You say, I will really, really trust in Him, and not in myself, not in man, not in modern medicine. Ouch. There are definitely people today who are putting all their trust in modern medicine. Shame on them. That is not the secret place. But he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide, will rest safely and securely under the shadow of the Almighty God. You know what it means to trust in the Lord? It means you trust that what He says, that's true, no matter what anyone else says. You trust that what He does, that's good, no matter what anyone else thinks. You trust that what He commands, that's right, no matter what anyone else advises. You trust that what He promises, that's what's going to happen, no matter what anyone else predicts. Moses was no fool. As soon as he heard the good news, he said, sign me up. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I will not lean on my own understanding. Beloved, listen, this is how to number your days, that you might gain a heart of wisdom. Stop trusting in you. Stop trusting in man. Stop trusting in modern medicine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust that what He says is true, what He commands is right, what He promises will come to pass, and so go forward into battle strong and courageous. This is how to live life. To put it in New Testament terms, it means to trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, with all your heart. It means to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow Him by faith. Significant question number two. Well, what will this mean for you if you actually believe? What will it mean for you if you, like Moses, say, that's me. I will say of the Lord, He's my fortress, He's my refuge, in Him will I trust. The answer is in verses 3 through 16. And essentially it means, He will make your path straight. He will surely deliver you from every danger. You can go through dangers unafraid. He will make sure that nothing keeps you from your destination, and He will get you to your salvation. You will see the salvation of God. Verse 3. Surely, that means without a doubt, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. These depict two types of real dangers that you may face along the way. One is an enemy who sneaks to snare you, the devil. Another is a disease that threatens to kill you, and there are plenty of those. If you think this is the last one, oh my goodness, where have you been? I mean, just wait. There's going to be another and another and another. But you know what? Absolutely no worries if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, because He will deliver you. You're going to be abiding, resting under the shadow of the Almighty God. You say, well, what's he going to do? Verse 4. Well, he's going to cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth is going to be your shield and your buckler. Well, this pictures God as a great eagle, and it pictures you as a little eaglet. Not a chicklet, an eaglet. And God is going to cover you with his vast wings, his feathers, and he's going to protect you against anything that could endanger your soul. But to put it in more practical terms, his truth, and probably in context, the truth that you will abide under his shadow, this truth of God's salvation, the gospel, is going to be your shield and your buckler. You know how you'll know if you're dwelling in the shadow. You know how you'll know if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Verse 5. You won't be afraid. You won't be afraid. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid. This would be like you're Joshua leading all Israel into battle, but you're not afraid of the enemy. You're going forward without fear. You're like a soldier who is equipped to go and face the enemy. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. That is a figure of speech called merism, which means to say night or day, visible or invisible. It doesn't matter what the danger is. You're not going to fear any of it. You're going to be resting in the shadow of Almighty God. Meanwhile, other people around you, they're going to fall away. They're not going to be trusting. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. What won't come near you? Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Did you know that it's evil to not believe God? Did you know that? A lot of people don't understand that. It is evil to not believe God. Why is that? Because God is your creator. And when you disbelieve your creator, you call him a liar. And the picture here is you're going forward in battle, and all around you people are falling, and suffering the reward of the wicked. And yet you're going forward as if death is nothing for you to fear. As if death might even be gain. Why? How? Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You've put all your faith in him. You've put all your trust in him. You're not concerned. There could be danger in the country and danger in the city and danger on water and danger in dry land. And if you didn't recognize that, that's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm going forward doing ministry. I got danger everywhere I go. That didn't stop him. He didn't say, oh, I better stay home. No, I know there's danger everywhere. But he said, the Lord delivers me from all of that. It's not that he didn't suffer persecution and affliction. He suffered it all the time. It's just he had the Lord to deliver him. And at the end of life, and he said, and the Lord will deliver me from everything. Boy, the Lord could sure use a few more soldiers like that. Verse 10. Now here's the hard one. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Well, that just sounds unreal. Too good to be true. Pie in the sky. Depends on what it means, right? So here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean believe in God and you'll have a trouble-free life. Well, that's just a lie, right? You'll never get sick. You'll never have any health problems. Doesn't mean that. Notice, it says no evil shall befall you. This doesn't mean you'll never be cast into the burning fiery furnace. It just means you don't have to be afraid if you do, because the flames won't consume you. Really? Yeah, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This doesn't mean you'll never get cast into the den of lions. It means if you do, trust the Lord. They won't devour you. If they do, it's only gain for you. This doesn't mean you'll never get burned. And you probably will get burned in church. How many of you have been burned in church, right? You say, I've been burned. This isn't saying you'll never get burned, you'll never suffer. This doesn't say you'll never be crucified. It says, if you do, dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Just put all your trust in Him, all your faith in Him. And if you do that, you will rest in the shadow of Almighty God, and He will deliver you. There's something else that's an important observation in this psalm. All throughout the psalm, you can check this when you get home, there's movement. You're not sitting still. The picture is you're moving forward towards a destination, and the idea no evil shall befall you is the idea nothing will thwart what God has intended for you. He is going to get you to where He has promised to get you if your faith is in Him. That's the idea. And when it says at the end of verse 10, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, well, what's your dwelling? The Most High God. And that means it can't touch you. Listen, even if as a believer you get COVID and you die, or some other illness and you die, if you understand things rightly, you don't really die. What did Jesus say? Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Followed by, do you believe this? You know why He asks? He knows the heart of men. Many do not believe, which is why they trust in themselves, which is why they live in fear. You say, well, how in the world is God going to pull this off? Verse 11. For He will give His angels charge over you to keep you, preserve you, secure you in all your ways. Does God have angels? Yes. How many does He have? Good. I hear myriads upon myriads. Good. 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Countless. Well, what are angels? And you should answer me with a question. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? You get the promise there? God has a people who definitely will inherit salvation, and absolutely no evil, no harm, no danger can ever thwart what God has determined to do. Man, that is good news. That is good news of the sovereignty of God in your salvation. If you don't believe that, I feel sorry for you. You should live in fear, because something here depends on you. It doesn't in my Bible. Yes, you need to be obedient, but you even count on God for your obedience. God's going to give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Verse 12, in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 13, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot, which means you're going to take the land. Joshua, you and the people are going to take the land. There's all kinds of other things in the land. There's all kinds of dangers on the way there. They're not going to stop you. You're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to be He who overcomes. Sound familiar? Romans 8, Revelation 2 and 3. You say, why in the world would God do this? Let's let God answer, which He does in verses 14 through 16. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. Want to know how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? You set all your love on God. You love Him supremely. You trust Him supremely. You believe Him supremely. And God says, because He has set His love upon me, that's why I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high. That means out of reach of any danger, because He has known my name. That means he has known me as the Almighty. He has known me as the Most High God. He has known me as a God who is worthy of absolute trust. Well, what about trouble when it comes? Verse 15. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Wow. You know what that means? I will show to everyone that that kind of faith is precious to me. That's what it means to honor. I will show I value this. With long life, I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. You know what the psalmist is saying? You know what Moses is saying here? Here's what he's saying. You ready? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God will bring that person through every danger along the way. That person will go forward unafraid, and that person will be saved, and the Lord will show him his salvation. There's one question left, right? Significant question number three. Do you really believe? Because those who really believe are actually very few. How can you tell? Fear. This psalm was first of all to Joshua and the children of Israel as they were preparing to go towards the promised land. And as you know, the Lord told Moses, send men ahead to spy out the land and bring back a report to the nation. Actually, they were told, go spy out the land that I have given. It's already a done deal. Just go check out the land that I've already given you. You know what that is, right? A test. That is called a test. And all but two came back and said, there's giants in the land. We can't take this land. Let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt. Wow. And so the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of these men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They won't see it. God swore an oath that they wouldn't see it. Why? Because they haven't wholly followed me. Only Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have fully followed the Lord. Numbers 32, 10 to 12. The rest trusted in themselves. The rest feared. They leaned on their own human understanding. And therefore, they were afraid. How many are just like them today? And so I ask you again, do you really believe? I mean, do you really believe the Lord? Do you really trust in him? Well, I will say from my own perspective as a pastor, to you as a flock, you've done amazing. Praise the Lord. Now, I've watched you go through a year of COVID. And there's things to fear, right? But I've just watched, and my heart has been so encouraged to see people going forward into battle by faith, serving the Lord, not living their lives in fear. Boy, that's a good sign, isn't it? You should rejoice. We should rejoice as a church family. That means God is doing his work in our hearts. We're not afraid. We're going forward. If that's you, and to put it in terms of the New Testament, if your faith really is in Jesus Christ, if you have denied yourself, if you have taken up your cross, and if you are really following Jesus Christ by faith, moving forward into spiritual battle unafraid, if that's you, keep going. Right? Keep going. Keep dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Say with Moses, I'll say it. The Lord is my fortress. He's my refuge. In him I will trust and keep on really, really trusting. And let me encourage you, he will deliver you from every danger, every trial. No evil will befall you. Nothing will keep you from the destination he has appointed for you, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. If this is not you, if in fact, truth be told, you have drawn back in fear, listen to what God says. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:38. Now that is said to a group of people who had professed faith in Jesus Christ, but suddenly the trials came and they began drawing back. Listen, if that's you, it's time to repent. It's time to confess that you have succumbed to fear. And fear of man and fear of danger is a snare. It will trap you and keep you from doing what Christ has commanded. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for your strong encouragement of Psalm 91. Thank you for this great wisdom through Moses. Thank you for teaching us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Father, let us not waste our days living in fear and provoking you to wrath. Let us be bold and courageous, meditating on your word, going forward into battle by faith, and giving you all the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.